Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, this is the voice of the American Redoubt, and this is the 38th podcast of 2020, the year that America came under attack. Wow, unbelievable. Things are going into retrograde now as leaders around the world and major cities across America and governors, some governors, are asking us to go full retard with the Chinese Communist Party lie, the virus, that we should just destroy our economies over and completely upend our lives and, well, participate with the Great Reset. The Great Reset of the left, the globalists. So we're going to cover that. Election items here in the news. And tonight in segment two, there's two things I want to focus on. Well, in segment two, I want to focus on the new mandates that have come down, particularly in Washington state with Governor Inslee, King Inslee, affecting the folks. Hey, are you guys ready for Liberty State or not? Are you going to get off your butts and get Liberty State going? Or are you happy with the chains? Are you enjoying the chains that you have, that you're in Eastern Washington there? When you want it bad enough, when it hurts bad enough, maybe you guys will actually get Liberty State going. I don't know, but we'll see. So in segment two, I want to talk about the lockdown measures, and I want to bring something forward that the communists used. There was a report in the 50s that exposed how the communists exercised control and broke the will of their subjects, of their people, and the parallels between that and COVID-19, if you want to call it that, the Communist Chinese Party virus, how the leftists in the United States are reacting to this virus. And how they're following the same model, the communist model for breaking the will of a people and bringing them into compliance and establishing control and maintaining control. So anyway, we've got that. And of course, Lady Liberty will be coming on in segment four. Lots of stuff with the voting. So let's do the news and commentary. News and commentary brought to you by Prepping 2.0 with Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, helping to take your preps to the next level. Prepping 2.0. They, of course, are the authors of the 299 Days book series, with Glenn writing all 10 books, and the audio books are out as well. And Shelby Gallagher with her 3-book series, A Great State. And they team up on the Prepping 2.0 podcast. So check it out at prepping2-0.com. Headlines at the Liberty Daily, 245 of Flatten the Curve, also known as the Deep State's plot to drive us crazy, make us stupid, and take over the world. I love it. Love the way they write the headlines. I think I could get along with that person really well. Michigan and Washington, I just got this Alerts USA alert just a little bit ago. Washington State and Michigan State enacting the same stupid lockdowns, stupid controls. That's what I'm going to be talking about in segment two. But let's look at just some of the headlines. This is America today in 2020, in November of 2020. 8 months now of this ridiculousness and a stolen or an attempted theft of an election of our president, which is about ready to blow up in their faces. And I just can't wait. This is just makes me just happy. Do you guys know about this Trump rally? All over Trump rallies, plural, all over the country, supporting President Trump and speaking out against this election fraud, which there was an abundant evidence for. I'm going to talk about that from Readout News. Sherry Duvalli did a great job compiling all of this. But in D.C., the cops direct Trump supporters into a gauntlet of Antifa and BLM. Now, this is also interesting, too. Antifa, BLM, they show up to try to cause problems, to pick fights with Trump supporters, harass them, and assault them. They're carrying a banner, punch a MAGA in the face, as in make America great, right? So now that's what they call us, MAGAs. MAGAs, MAGA. So they got this banner, punch a MAGA in the face. The Patriots met the challenge, these guys head on, sent the skinny jeans wearing Antifa and BLM running and hiding behind the police. The same police that they want to defund and destroy and say, F the police, and police needs to go away. Now they're hiding behind the police when they try picking a fight with Patriots, and they're about ready to get their butts kicked. Democrat terrorists do nothing when they are assaulted. Fascist Führer Fauci, man, there's a mouthful, declares that Christmas may be canceled. Sidney Powell, we're going to talk about this in the fourth segment, staggering evidence of voter fraud and this computer program called Dominion. Voting machines engineered by communist countries, China, Venezuela, and Cuba. That's right. Sidney Powell also drops a bomb. You guys, several of you have sent this to me. Thank you, by the way. Stating CIA may have used Dominion for its own benefit. And like cruel scientists who torture dogs, the Democrats want to teach us learned helplessness. Oh, man, these headlines. But you know what? It's true. Matter of fact, in segment two, I'm going to talk about that. I don't know if these guys really understand the truth of this headline here. But that's really what they want, learned helplessness, where you just stop resisting. Anything you do isn't going to work. You're just, oh, they got you, right? I have to wear my mask, shuffle along. But in this report, Dominion, apparently, these voting systems security chief, now Dominion, I mentioned yesterday on the Saturday show, something that that Lady Liberty reminded me of. I'm like, that's right. Duh, Dominion. That's the principalities of angels. Did you know that? That's what Dominion is. Well, of course, it also means to dominate. But that Dominion is that space, that occupied space. So they have voting systems now, and their security chief in charge of this Dominion, which apparently several leftist Democrats are tied to, including Soros. But their security chief was an anti-Trump, pro-Antifa guy who posted a manifesto letter to Trump. And he's the head security guy of Dominion, this Dominion voting software program. Can't even make this stuff up, hardly. Man, Roger Stone says CIA used the hammer and scorecard. That's coming up again. That's electronically manipulated voting computer, supercomputer, and the program, the application for it. So there are definitely some people that are investigating this And stuff's about ready to just absolutely blow the lid right off of here. Oh, I love this headline. Fascist fear fearer Fauci claims social distancing and face diapers will still be necessary even after getting the Chicom virus vaccine. So even after you get the vaccine, which still isn't out yet, but when it is, you should still wear your face diaper. Social distancing, all of that. Now, Sidney Powell, in this bombshell document, apparently has documented massive voter fraud, in stating that it will overturn the results in multiple states, and also stated that Trump won by millions of votes with sworn testimonies. Rudy Giuliani is saying, absolutely, this is true. And President Trump is saying, I did not concede. Oh, so who was it? Someone was saying that they were trying to say that Trump conceded. He says, I concede nothing. Fake news. From the National File, Trey Traynor, the chairman of the Federal Elections Commission, FEC, Federal Elections Commission, I believe, said during an appearance on Newsmax this Thursday that he does believe there's voter fraud taking place. He confirmed that the refusal to allow poll watchers to observe the ballot counting process, among numerous other irregularities, does indeed constitute an illegitimate election. Wow. That's the Federal Election Commission top guy. He said, when you have claims of 10,000 people who don't live in the state of Nevada having voted in Nevada, when you have the video showing where people are either duplicating a spoiled ballot right there, or they're in the process of just marking a ballot that came in blank for a voter, that's a process that needs to be observed by election observers. He's saying that didn't take place. All kinds of stuff that should have taken place did not. Between voter fraud and just irregularities, he's saying this is an illegitimate election, the presidential election. That's unacceptable is not the right word. It's people need to go to jail. People need to hang for this. It's a felony, multiple counts. And people are being prosecuted for it. There are several folks who have been arrested who are facing criminal charges that the media doesn't want to talk about because they don't want to highlight anything that might actually validate the claims of voter fraud. So there was a raid, apparently. Representative Louis Gohmert was being interviewed on Newsmax saying that the military was involved in a raid of a software company, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Citl. It's S-C-Y-T-L. Their servers were seized in Germany. This is related to the election. The Citl hosted elections data improperly through Spain, and their servers were raided by a large U.S. Army force, and their servers were seized in Frankfurt. Andrea Widberg at American Thinker earlier reported that Citl, is a Barcelona-based company that provides electronic voting systems worldwide, many of which have proven vulnerable to electronic manipulation. Citl has or had Soros and Democrat Party connections. Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen's Vulcan Capital has invested $40 million in Citl. And I guess they also said that other sources, they learned from a separate source that Bill Gates also owns stock in Citl. Some people need to go to prison. Actually, I think the prison is too good for them. So, apparently, this is coming through this representative, congressman. I'm pretty sure it's a congressman. That would be, who was it? Got to try to find it here again. Representative Louis Gohmert. So apparently the U.S. government, once they determined that this Dominion server was involved in switching votes, then the intelligence community began a search for the server and discovered that the server was in Germany. In order to get access to that server and have it available for use in a legal manner, they had to have the State Department work in tandem with the Department of Justice. They had to request that the government of Germany cooperate in allowing this seizure of this server. The appropriate documents required to effect that kind of seizure were put in place, signed off on, and it appears there was also U.S. military support in this operation. The U.S. military was not in the lead, but this helps explain why Esper was fired and Miller, the Patriot, and Cash Patel were put in place. Remember this decapitation of the military, top military personnel, Pentagon and intelligence personnel that they're freaking out about? They're freaking out because Trump has taken out the enemies within that are subverting the elections and our republic and the rule of law and the executive branch of our government. So this beautiful move, beautiful strategic move. This is 4D chess right here. What's going on? So the military would not. So we put the Patriots in place, removed the ilk, creatures from the swamp, deep state types, so that the military would not interfere with the operation to seize these servers in any way. By getting a hold of the server, they now are going to have the direct evidence of when they were instructed to stop counting the votes. They'll also discover who gave the direction to stop counting and who initiated the algorithm that started switching votes. And by the way, they noted here, the CIA was completely excluded from this operation. Brilliant. So, Redoubt News. There are claims by the left, which, of course, they're liars, so it doesn't matter what they claim, really. They've lost all credibility. They have no credibility. Zero credit. But in case you want to know, if you maybe have some progressive friends or family members that are trying to tell you there's no voters, that's a conspiracy, that's just Trump trying to steal the election. Well, not true. That's a projection. They're regurgitating lies of the communists. So here is a beautifully compiled collection of all of these with links, sources, that's highlighting these election voting fraud and irregularities and illegal actions and everything else. So there's an article over there titled, "Here is Your Evidence in Your Face," by Sherry Duvalli. Good job. While the propagandist media continues to hope for a Biden victory, they cannot hide the truth that voter fraud is prevalent. They, along with big tech and other socialists, however, repeat the claim that there is no proof and voter fraud is a myth. Well, just to name a couple of examples here that she includes, it's chock full. Go through it and read it. It's excellent. Judicial Watch released a study from September 2020 that showed 353 U.S. counties in 29 states had voter registration rates exceeding 100%. That's more than 100% of the people registered or eligible to vote are registered to vote. That's not even possible. Quote, the new study shows 1.8 million excess or ghost voters in 353 counties across 29 states, said Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. The data highlights the recklessness of mailing blindly ballots and ballot applications to voter registration lists. Dirty voting rolls can mean dirty elections. Earlier this month, Judicial Watch sued Colorado over its failure to comply with the National Voter Registration Act. In Judicial Watch's new study, 42 Colorado counties, or two-thirds of the state's counties had registration rates exceeding 100%. 42. That's two-thirds of the state's counties had over 100% registered to vote. And these people are lying right to your face when they say there is no voter fraud, whether they're from the government or whether they're in the media, claiming to have done their research. They're lying, bald face lying. Let's go to Rhino Pack, stark raving mad page. I got one here. The term illegal voting is racist. From Boston, New York, Dr. Ibram X. Kendi, originally Ibram Henry Rogers, 38 years old, director of Boston University's Center for Anti-Racist Research, our tax dollars hard at work, declared that the term illegal voting is racist. According to Dr. Kendi, illegal voting joins many other terms which likewise are fundamentally racist, including welfare queen, handouts. Personal responsibility is a racist term. Broken windows, looting, open borders, big government, socialism, radical left, anti-American, anti-police, and anchor baby. Those are all racist terms. Kendi's doctoral degree is in African-American studies. A course of study nearly as rigorous as kindergarten finger painting. He was elevated to the throne at the Center of Anti-Racist Research, a demanding position closely corresponding to his level of education, in July of 2020. Kendi's main claim to fame arose when he attacked Justice Amy Coney Barrett during her confirmation hearings, claiming she was a white colonizer for adopting two black Haitian children. She adopts two children from Haiti, and now she's a white colonizer. George Orwell, in his dystopian novel 1984, noted that by controlling the language, Big Brother controls the way people think. With a limited vocabulary, people are limited in how much they can think, as well as what they can think about. Control was the goal of the leftists in the novel. Control is the goal of the leftists today. And that is the conclusion for this week's entry from Rhino Pack, Stark Raving Mad page. And this is the voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be back with segment two right after this.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Communist propaganda, which left unchallenged, could speed up their goal of world domination. We are in the midst of a continuing struggle for the minds of men.
Welcome back. This is segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host, and man, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. If you guys are looking at strategically getting relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, check out Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, a patriot-owned business helping folks like you get relocated to the Boundary County in the northern part of Bonner County in Idaho there. They do a great job, and I've been helping folks for years. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Oh, and also, hey, if you guys have a business and you or some type of enterprise and you need a website hosting, TLC web hosting, great, awesome, Christian Patriot-owned business. They take great care of us with Radio Free Redoubt and Amron, Patriot-owned servers located here in the American Redoubt. Not some leftist or marginally who knows what type of mindset that the owners that could deplatform you instantly without any warning or any dialogue. You just all of a sudden realize you don't have a website because, well, they just don't approve of your content. So it's going to be more and more critical here, but yeah, he takes security very, very seriously over there. TLC web hosting. Oh man, they got, I don't know how many hundreds of lots of websites that they host. They're full blown pro, very experienced, good folks. Okay. So let's see here. I want to share with you a PDF that was sent to me today. And it's one of the multiple Patriot groups that I'm in. And there is a document that was sent out prior to King Inslee making his proclamation about these lockdowns. Now it's out and it's public. And matter of fact, I don't even know where this guy got this from. It was plugged in somewhere in the Washington state government, and they got this before it was made public. So I got this before it was public, and now I'm looking at the news outlets who are carrying the story, and they're not complete lists. They're not showing everything, and they need to. Because here's the restrictions. This is what is in this PDF that's supposed to be going out. Announce with a note at the top, announce Sunday, November 15th, which took place. So from Monday, November 16th, which is actually midnight on Tuesday, like 12:01 a.m. Tuesday morning. So, Monday night, Tuesday morning until December 14th. So we're talking about a month now. All counties in Washington roll back to the restriction outlined below. All counties. Doesn't matter how many COVID cases you have. Now they're saying, we've seen the numbers go up sharply. Well, that's because they're testing the snot out of everybody now. It's a flu virus. Anyway. So, later next week, we will also announce the revamp. What is a revamp? Nobody seems to know what a revamp is. Well, let's go back and let's look at some of the let's revisit some of the things that they were going to implement. Contact tracing, where you have somebody actually knocking on your door, contact tracing, where you have been, according to your cell phone, coming in within, 6 feet? Within contact, close proximity of someone who's been identified as positively having COVID. That didn't really go anywhere. What's the other thing? Oh, mobile hospitals. That never really saw anybody at all. No, it's just a bunch of money spent on these mobile hospitals that never even had any patients. The other thing is all of these quarantine facilities at all of the county fairgrounds, and this order for mandatory forcibly relocating you to quarantine at these facilities. So what are they revamping? What were they trying to do that didn't work, or they didn't follow through with, or what? I'm just guessing here because they don't say. So I'm just trying to think back on everything that they said that they were going to implement and really never went anywhere. We talked about it. Oh, they just said they're going to be a mandatory quarantine at these facilities, which are basically look like a little refugee camps, rather. So what they did is they said, we're going to do this. And they actually put them up. We got pictures and folks actually went to these fairgrounds and said, hey, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, well, it's COVID quarantine facility. Oh, great. Thanks. And so the conservatives, the Patriots said, whoa, this is not good. And then nothing came of it. They just like vanished, right? Making the Patriots, they were pointing this stuff out, look like, well, you're just making stuff up. So I don't know where they're gonna end up going with this. But let me continue on with this. So this is what the folks over in Washington State are being confronted with. This is what they're going to wake up to. Restriction modifications for all counties effective Monday, November 16th. If the activity is not listed, it should follow its current guidance. All K-12 and higher education and children and child care is exempt from the new restrictions and will follow current guidance. These restrictions do not apply to courts and court-related proceedings. Oh, okay, because COVID can't get into the courthouse. So as long as we can still prosecute you, we'll keep that process open, but everything else needs to shut down so we can destroy your businesses and disrupt your livelihood and your lives. But here we go. It's a bulleted list. Indoor social gatherings with people from outside your household are prohibited. Indoor social gatherings with people from outside your household are prohibited. It doesn't say more than six people. It's like anybody, one person having a social visit, if they're not from your household, prohibited. This word, you know, we know what's going to happen. The compliance is not going to be, it's going to be non-existent. Basically, people are going to be saying, stick it where the sun doesn't shine, inthly. And people are going to go on about their lives for the most part. But businesses are going to shut down. Restaurants are going to shut down. They're going to go through the stupid mask mandate. You have to have a mask to be in here. You have to leave. You know, that type of garbage is still going to go on. So outdoor social gatherings should be limited to five people from outside your household. Restaurants and bars are closed for indoor service. Outdoor dining and to-go service is permitted. Outdoor dining must follow the outdoor dining restrictions. Table size limited to five for outdoor dining. These restaurants' restrictions go into effect at 12:01 a.m. Wednesday. Fitness facilities and gyms closed for indoor operations. Outdoor fitness classes may still occur, but they're limited by the outdoor gathering restriction listed above. So five. Drop-off child care closed. Bowling centers are closed. Miscellaneous venues, all retail activities, and business meetings are prohibited. Only professional training and testing that cannot be performed remotely is allowed. Occupancy in each meeting room is limited to 25% or 100 people, whichever is fewer. Movie theaters closed for indoor service. You can stand outside and look through the window. Museums, zoos, aquariums closed. So cattails, that's out. North Spokane. Real estate, open houses are prohibited. Weddings and funeral receptions are prohibited. Ceremonies are limited to no more than 30 people. In-store retail limited to 25% indoor occupancy and must close any common congregate non-food related seating areas. Religious services. This will get you guys. You're going to love this. Limited to 25% of the indoor occupancy and no more than 200 people, whichever is fewer. So if you got a church that sits 150 people, well, 25%, only 30 people can sit in church. No choir, band, or ensemble shall perform during the services. Because you know what's going to happen. If you strum a guitar, the virus goes berserk. It jumps right down people's throats and kills them instantly. Soloists are permitted to perform, Facial coverings must be worn at all times by congregation members, and no congregational singing. Professional services are required to mandate that employees work from home when possible. Okay, personal services are limited to 25% of the maximum occupancy. Long-term care facilities. So we're talking about, you know, old folks' homes. Outdoor visits only. You can scream at grandma from across the street. We love you. Exceptions can be made for essential support persons and end-of-life care. Youth, school, and non-school and adult sporting activities are limited to outdoor only. For intra-team practice, masks are required for athletes for your sports. Unbelievable. This is just absolutely ludicrous. So, I have a chart here. If you guys aren't aware of this, something that I read, you know, years ago in my past life as a DOD contractor, we tracked a lot of this kind of stuff. This is called the Chart of Coercion, and it is from the Biderman Report on Communist Brainwashing Techniques used by the Chinese and North Koreans on captured American servicemen to make them psychologically dependent, as well as physically dependent prisoners. So Dr. Alfred Biderman presented this report at the New York Academy of Medicine in 1956. So it says here, compare the right column with your experience this year. So let's go down the list. This is how communists exercise control over their subjects, psychologically beat them down, develop dependency on their captor or their masters, their bureaucrats. So these are communist coercive methods for eliciting individual compliance. Under the chart of coercion on the left and the COVID-19 column on the right. So communists, isolation, under the isolation category. It deprives individual of social support of his ability to resist. It makes individual dependent on the captor. Individual develops an intense concern with self. Isolation under COVID-19. Social distancing, isolation from loved ones, massive job loss, solitary confinement, semi-isolation, quarantines, and containment camps, which they haven't implemented yet. The containment camps. Monopolization of perception is the next category. So, as it's applied by communists, monopolization of perception are these bullet points. Fixes all attention upon immediate predicament, frustrates all actions not consistent with compliance, and eliminates stimuli competing with those controlled by the captor. So it's monopolization of your senses. Well, under COVID, you have restricted movement, create monotony, boredom, prevent gatherings, meetings, concerts, sports, dominate all media, the 24/7 sensor information. The next category, induced debility and exhaustion. As the communists would apply it, this is designed to weaken mental and physical ability to resist, and people become worn out by tension and fear. For induced debility to debilitate you under COVID-19, forced to stay at home, all media is negative, not permitted to exercise or socialize. This is amazing. They're just like following the communist formula for control and dominance and demoralization to the T. Threats under the communist column cultivates anxiety and despair. It gives demands and consequences for non-compliance. These are threats hanging over your head. Well, under COVID-19, threats of intimidation, threaten to close your business, levy fines against you, $1,500 a day for not making your employees wear masks or your customers, right? Predict extension of quarantine, forced vaccines, and create containment camps. which they've done, they have not implemented yet. Occasional indulgences. This is where they let the leash out just a little bit. Make you feel like you're getting something back. So occasional indulgences. It provides motivation for compliance. It's a reward. Hinders adjustment to deprivation. It creates hope for change and reduces resistance. And it keeps people unsure of what's happening. Well, under the occasional indulgences under COVID-19, it allows for reopening of some stores and services. It lets restaurants open, but only at a certain capacity, increase more people allowed to gather, and follow concessions with tougher rules. So if you don't do this, if you do have more, then we're going to let your restaurant open, but only every other booth can have somebody sitting in it. And if we kept you violent, we'll shut you down. All right. So tougher rules for the concessions of allowing you to open your restaurant to 25% capacity. And you're supposed to go, oh, thank you so much, master. Oh, thank you so much, comrade. Or commissar. So demonstrate omnipotence. That's the holding all power. I totally have 100% control and power over every part of your life, right? You're demonstrating omnipotence. The communists, when they do this, they demonstrate futility of resistance. It shows who's in charge, and it provides positive motivation for compliance. Well, demonstration of omnipotence under COVID-19, shut down entire economies across the world, create money out of nowhere, force dependency, and develop total surveillance with nanochips and 5G. That's true. They're really pushing the 5G thing right now, aren't they? So degradation, category under communists, makes resistance seem worse than compliance, creates feelings of helplessness, and it creates fear of freedom, dependence upon captors. Well, under humiliation or degradation techniques, under COVID, shame people who refuse masks or don't distance, make people stand on circles and between lines, make people stand outside and wait in queues, and sanitation stations in every shop. Finally, the last category, enforcing trivial demands. Under the communist column, develop a habit of compliance. Demands made are illogical and contradictory. Rules on compliance may change and reinforces who is in control. So enforcing trivial demands under the COVID column, family members must stand apart, masks in home, and even when having intimacy with your spouse, random limits on people allowed to be together. I would say not even random, but arbitrary. It's just arbitrary numbers. How is it okay for five people to all be sitting at a table, but not six? Why not four? So it's strange. How many people from your house can be 25%? Why 25% occupancy in a building? Why not 30%? Why not 20%? Who come up with 25%? And if it's so dangerous and so bad, why would you have it open at all? Why would you have church open at all? If it's that dangerous and we're all going to die if we go to church, but you're going to allow it, excuse me, for 25% of the people. Well, once again, it goes back to occasional indulgences. We're going to let you have a little bit here, but no singing. And everybody has to have a mask on. Unbelievable. So yeah, this is the perfect model for coercion and achieving compliance and dominance over somebody, over your subject. And this is a formula that communists use, captors use. Captors use against prisoners. But also, what we saw this used by the Bolsheviks. By the Nazis, by the fascists in Italy. Anytime someone wants to exercise control, they use these, like, go right down the list. And we're seeing the same thing applied to COVID. Unbelievable. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about preparing for war. And I'm going to go deeper into something that I gave to you guys yesterday, Saturday, as homework. Hopefully you looked up, did some research on survival stories from Bosnia and also from Venezuela. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Segment three coming up right after this.
One podcast dares to be different.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in. Don't back down. And never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old fashioned.
All right, we're going into segment three now here with the Voice of the American Redoubt, episode 20-38, 15 November. Wow, what a year. What an absolutely mind-blowing year. And you know what? I think it's going to be just that much more amplified in 2021. I don't think this is going to just go away and we're just going to say, oh, wow, 2020 was just, wow, what an amazing, what a weird year. I'm glad that's over with, right? Now it's 2021 and we're all back to normal. These guys are telling us, even Fauci, the Führer, Fauci, is saying that this is not ever going to go away. We're always going to have to wear masks now. We're always going to have to implement these things now from this point forward, from here on out. They're basically telling us, there is no going back to the way it was. This is the new normal. And boy, they're going to sure try. And we're going to resist. But, you know, it's the setup. It's the setup for what has to come. I mean, as Christians, we know that, you know, we were told how things were, you know, you're going to know when you're getting close. And there will be a one world government. There will be a one world currency. There will be a one world religion. There will be persecution and oppression against Christians and anybody who doesn't comply with what will eventually become the mark of the beast. We see now the technology that is coming from the COVID-19 and the vaccine tracking technology, the nanotechnology there is paving the way for an eventual mark of the beast to become, you know, a reality. So right now this is their testing ground, their playground. They're just they're developing it. They're fine tuning it all. So, you know, we were just told this was going to come, and here we are. This is it. This is us living, seeing it, what previous generations have seen coming, wondering if it was going to be them. We just had this discussion with Lady Liberty, and we keep talking about this. It's a very wow. It's just, what else can you say? Wow. But this segment three, is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive. And they do a really good job helping you get the most out of your land, laying it out for food production, alternative energy, defensibility, and just trying to get it to be as absolutely as productive and efficient as possible. And sometimes we need help with stuff like that. And that's what these guys do. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Now, yesterday, I gave you guys a homework assignment talking about preparing for war, how to do that. And I'm going to keep coming back to this topic from here on out, at least for the foreseeable future, because a lot of folks are saying, I wonder if there looks like there could be a civil war. I can't imagine that. I mean, they're still acting surprised. On the left and the right, they're still freely now using the term civil war. But then you still see somebody acting really surprised on the news. It's like their eyes go really wide and they go, "What? Do you think there really could be a civil war? Do you really think that?" And, there's this normalcy bias and this cognitive dissonance that's really makes it hard to grasp the reality of certain situations. Now, yesterday when I gave you this homework assignment, let me step back real quick. And folks were saying, we need to prepare for that. Well, and people are asking, how do you prepare for war? I mean, what do I do? I'm a woman, a housewife, a grandma now, in my 50s. And, I'm just trying to keep the house in order and balance the checkbook. And now we're supposed to prepare for war. What does that even mean? What does that look like? And so that's valid. And they don't doubt that things are getting very precarious and that type of conflict is on the horizon. But so what I did was I gave three kind of assignments. One of those was go to survivalblog.com and type in list of lists to get you started making lists of various different categories of things that you need to start thinking about preparing for. You might have one for, just a fuel, just have some extra fuel so you can, in an emergency, if something happened where, let's say, debit card machines went down, do you have cash to get fuel or do you have fuel? So you don't even have to stop when there are mile long lines at the few gas stations that still have fuel that are able to even still take cash. Are you set up logistically where you don't even have to worry about stopping at that place and getting in a fight with somebody because they're accusing you of cutting in line or whatever? You can blow right past that place. You don't even need to stop. Those are some good places. That's a good position to be in. Batteries or, fuel or just different categories that helps you organize your preps. Okay. Then there were two other things that I had you do, and that is I want you to do an internet search using Yippie, YIPPY.com, Yippie.com. Safe searching does not track your IP address or your searches and that kind of stuff. But anyway, do an internet search for two different things. One, look up survival, Bosnia. And the other one, look up survival, Venezuela. You're going to see multiple different articles, some of the same story, just recycled through different websites. But then you'll also see a lot of unique, various different accounts of people who've gone through societal collapse, sharing their experiences when their country descended into anarchy or the without the rule of law, what we call WROL, without the rule of law. In other words, it's just everyone for themselves. It's chaos. Even those in South Africa, when you see riots or even in Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, where there's actually police officers that got busted who were participating in looting. That is just total anarchy. There is no, you've descended into a condition where you are without the rule of law. Gangs rule the streets. All right. So like in Bosnia, people were under sniper fire. The police where they existed were corrupt. They were basically acting like armed criminal gangs with badges sometimes. So there are several different examples of people sharing their personal stories of things they wish they had had, things they didn't consider before the war. So there's one in particular that's probably the most prevalent one out there, and it's a guy by the name of Selco, S-E-L-C-O. And there's an article over at The Organic Prepper, and actually there's one, a really good one, at survivalblog.com. But he also has his own website. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, because he has his own preparedness videos and his personal like lesson plans for how the things he wish he had known prior to going into that. But he was like, what, 16, 17 years old when that happened. But as a grown man, he's looked back and said, reflected on that and said, man, what did I wish I would have known? What was my mindset that I would have adjusted prior, you know, if I was going to go through that again? If somebody else was going to go through that, how would I advise them the things you need and the way you need to be thinking? So he said, the things that I experienced in my case prior to SHTF, stuff hits the fan, and things that you might recognize. So listen to this. When people say, do you really think there could be a civil war here in America? Now, remember, you need to go back and read. Well, let me get to that in a minute. So see if any of this sounds familiar. There's a bulleted list, and there's about 10 of them. Things that make differences between people are more and more problematic. Race, religion, political opinions. Okay, things that make differences between people are more and more problematic as you descend toward this SHTF or this Teotwaki, the end of the world as we know it. Or chaos, or WROL, without the rule of law. As you descend into this chaos, these are indicators. Next one, polarization is getting obviously stronger. Next, people want to come to your country, but they do not want to assimilate or contribute to the greater good. They want to preserve their way of life, which is often absolutely contradictory to the way that your country or society works. Next, the political way of solving those problems often fails because, in essence, those problems are hard to solve in a democratic way, in the spirit of democracy. Next, your freedoms are shrinking as a result of that. Are we seeing our freedoms shrinking? Next, calls for radical solutions for the problems are stronger and stronger. Are we seeing radical solutions being proposed for the problems that we're facing? Next, the media is absolutely working a dirty job, and it is hard to find out what is truth anymore. Hello. And finally, suddenly people and events from history are brought back so people can judge and argue about it, to write history again, to build myths sometimes. What are we doing with our history right now? We're destroying the heritage and the history of this country, demonizing those people and saying, oh, this is horrible. We can never go down this road. We need to erase this part of who we are, because that's not who we are. We're not racists, so we are going to destroy all of the statues from people who lived back at the time when slavery was legal. Because thanks to the British, which we broke our chains from. And then we ended up getting rid of slavery. But anyway, so here's an article that you guys have got to look up and read. And you need to share it with others. He has a really good video now where he narrates the front of it, the front end of his website. It's a good narrative to kind of take you through some of the introductions of his experiences. But this is what he writes. I'm just going to share a little bit of this with you, because this is really too much. I'm going to go through the main items, the categories that he expounds on. I'm not going to expound on those here, because I want you guys to go and read it, and in fact, print it out. But this is the title of his article. It's 1 Year in Hell. I have seen the story, this is written by Selco. So here we go. I am from Bosnia, you know, between 1992 and 1995, it was hell. For 1 year, I lived and survived in a city with 6,000 people, without water, electricity, gasoline, medical help, civil defense, distribution service, any kind of traditional service, or centralized rule. In other words, it was without the rule of law. Our city was blockaded by an army, and for 1 year, life in the city turned into total crap. We had no army, no police. We only had armed groups. Those armed protected their homes and families. When it all started, some of us were better prepared, but some of the neighbors' families had enough food only for a few days. Some had pistols. A few had AK-47s or shotguns. After a month or two, gangs started operating, destroying everything. Hospitals, for example, turned into slaughterhouses. There was no more police. About 80% of the hospital staff were gone. I got lucky. My family at the time was fairly large, 15 people in a large house, 6 pistols, 3 AKs, and we survived, most of us, at least. The Americans dropped MREs every 10 days to help blockaded cities. This was never enough. Some, very few, had gardens. It took 3 months for the first rumors to spread of men dying from hunger and cold. We removed all the doors, the window frames from abandoned houses, ripped up the floors, and burned the furniture for heat. Many died from diseases, especially from the water, two from my own family. We drank mostly rainwater, ate pigeons, and even rats. Money soon became worthless. Arms, ammunition, candles, lighters, antibiotics, gasoline, batteries, and food. We fought for these things like animals. In these situations, it all changes. Men become monsters. It was disgusting. So that's kind of the setting the tone for this guy's experience. And his website over there is really good. It's exceptional. And he has the shtfschool.com. S-H-T-F, as in Sierra Hotel Tango Foxtrot, school.com. So his main categories here, how to move safely in a city. He talked about how the city was divided into communities along streets. And their street had 15 to 20 or homes, 20 homes. They had patrols, 5 armed men every week to watch for gangs and for our enemies. That's how they lived. So you have to have the manpower to do that. Number 2, what about wood? Your home city is surrounded by woods. Why did you burn doors and furniture? Basically, one of the biggest problems that they described was having to go out into the woods to get firewood was a dangerous task. There were snipers. The city was under siege. And traveling any distance beyond your street, which 15, 20 homes you're trying to defend, was dangerous because then you're on somebody else's turf. You have to cross somebody else's territory to go get firewood. That's a lot of times you wouldn't survive that trip. What knowledge was useful to you in that period? And he said, to imagine the situation a bit better, you should know it was practically a return to the Stone Age. For example, I had a container of cooking gas, but I did not use it for heat. That would be too expensive. I attached a nozzle to it. I made myself to use to fill lighters. Lighters were precious. If a man bought an empty lighter, I would fill it. He would give me a tin of food or a candle. It's pretty good, huh? Number 4. If you had 3 months to prepare now, what would you do? He said, 3 months? Run away from the country. So he goes into some ideas that that you can do if you just have 3 months. Most of us in America, we have the finances to prepare. You could do a lot in just a week with buying staples of the things that are available to us now. But that's number 4. Read that. Number 5, what should you stockpile? And he said basically more lots of ammo. More food, hygiene items, batteries, accumulators. I'm not sure what that is. Little trading items like knives, lighters, flint, soap. Also alcohol of a type that keeps well. Where are we at here? gold and silver, were they useful? He said, yes. I personally traded all the gold in the house for ammunition. Was salt expensive? Yes. But coffee and cigarettes were even more expensive. I had lots of alcohol and traded it without problems. Alcohol consumption grew over 10 times as compared to peacetime. Imagine that. And that's what they're saying, too, just about COVID. Number eight, was it difficult to purchase firearms? What did you trade for arms and ammunition? He said, after the war, we had guns in every house. The police confiscated lots of guns at the beginning of the war, but most of them we hid. Now I have one legal gun that I have a license for. Under the law, that's called a temporary collection. If there is unrest, the government will seize all the registered guns. Never forget that. And we know we do keep that in mind. Number nine, what about security? He talks about their defenses being primitive. And I think that was the, yeah, how was the situation with toilets? We used shovels and a patch of earth near the house. you forget where that water comes from, and it requires electricity for the pumps and everything else. So they cover heat and injured, the sick and injured. This is a good article. It's a really good testimony, but that's just the beginning. That's just scratching the surface. So go through that list, read through his account of, you know, living 1 year in hell. There's several different articles, and also there's stuff written by other people that went through Venezuela and Bosnia and other events, survival stories that, there's a lot of lessons learned there, but this will kind of fast track you. And that's the best we can do for right now, right? Okay, so let's go ahead and take a break. Come back with segment four and Lady Liberty, and we'll get things wrapped up. So hope you guys are finding this stuff useful. All right, sit tight. We'll be right back.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
All right, welcome back to segment four, the fourth and final segment of episode 20-38 tonight. And segment four is brought to you by our newest, latest sponsor, EMP Shield, protecting your electronics, which is really important for us radio operators. It's something we've been looking for a long time and looking forward to and working with these guys, trying to correspond back and forth to get something in place, and these guys got it. Military standard training for high altitude EMP protection, control of electromagnetic interference, all of these military testing standards. And check them out at empshield.com. We'll be bringing a lot more from these guys, 100% lightning protection, solar flare protection, and EMP protection. So pretty excited about that. Lady Liberty.
Well, good evening to you.
Yes. And what do you think of that? Pretty cool,
well,
huh?
I'd like to really look into that. I would wonder, you know, how elaborate do they get? Do they have enough to, like, cover your vehicle?
Yes. You know, do absolutely. They? Yeah. Vehicle. Yep. Vehicle protection.
Yeah.
Your whole home protection or just individual electronic devices.
Right.
It's, you can expand it big, small, whatever you want, whatever you need to do.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know this is a radio operator's network, but that's not the only electronics that an EMP would wipe out. You know, I mean, all right. Our cars, for instance, you know, so.
Yep. Very true.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's
yeah,
good.
That would be interesting to check it all out and see all what they're capable of.
Yeah. I've looked at a
quite a bit of their stuff, but I still have more questions. I'm just excited. So, yeah, what's this? EMP Shield is the world's first EMP protection technology for an entire home and vehicle tested to military and UL 1449 standards. There it is. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So they must go way beyond like a Faraday cage.
Yeah. It protects it, you know, in the, inside the, I'm getting into all the details of it.
Inside the dome that they put over your house.
Right. The cone of silence. Yeah.
There we go. Another reference to Get Smart we just can't get over.
I love it.
Oh my gosh, love that movie.
That movie is so awesome.
It's true. Well, so you had a ton of very interesting information for this broadcast. And so I don't know how much more I can supply that you haven't already supplied, but there was a couple different things that I wanted to discuss. The first one being,
you get some really cool, exciting information about the election.
Right. Yeah. That was what I was just going to say. It was Trump's lawyer, Sidney Powell, says we're getting ready to overturn election results in multiple states. And
wow.
So Sidney Powell was a former federal prosecutor, and she is now a Trump campaign lawyer. And, She stated in an interview that the president's legal team is receiving a deluge of evidence concerning voter fraud and irregularities. She said, "We're getting ready to overturn election results in multiple states," and she said she has enough evidence of election fraud to launch a widespread criminal investigation, and that she says, "I don't make comments without having the evidence to back it up."
Yep.
And so she also says that the election software switched millions of votes from President Donald Trump to Joe Biden, and that a whistleblower has come forward alleging that the voting software was designed to rig elections. And so
they're talking about Dominion, or are you talking about the hammer?
Yeah, they refer to several right here in this next statement.
Okay.
He saw it. How do you know that that's coming up in the very next sentence?
It's just the logical question. It's the next sequence in my mind. It's,
right. Okay. So, this whistleblower, he said that he saw it happen in other countries, apparently referring to election hardware and software by Dominion voting systems and Smartmatic, or perhaps other software and machines. And she said, "We have so much evidence, I feel like it's coming in through a fire hose." And so apparently they can stick a thumb drive in the voting machine and upload software to it, even from the internet, from Germany or Venezuela or wherever.
Huh.
And those operations can watch votes in real time and can shift votes in real time, or alleged bad actors can remote access anything. And so she said, "We've identified mathematically the exact algorithm they've used and plan to use from the beginning that allegedly switched votes to Biden." And so,
jeez.
Yeah. So, in fact, I've got another article right here that was just sent to me from one of our listeners that I really appreciate that talks about that exactly. It's was that algorithm that is able to switch those real time. And so this article describes that the electronic vote fraud equation revealed in Michigan in four counties that 138,000 fake votes for Biden had something called a transistor function algorithm has been used to alter voting patterns in Michigan. It has a weighted race feature. And so what's been interesting about that is that it's highly suspect because, like, in the counties and areas that are most definitely Republican areas. Those are all the areas that just suddenly went Biden, right?
Right.
But only in the presidential.
Exactly. And that's what Wall Builders was talking about. They had a guy, I was kind of half listening to it while I was prepping for the show, where they were saying they totally took all these Republican seats.
Right, yeah.
But the president, everybody went for Biden. But all the other seats, everybody wanted a Republican. I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
Those are what are called irregularities.
Yeah, and so they refer to that algorithm as a transistor function that is apparently a weighted race feature.
Wow.
And so they can switch them. They can see them real time and switch them real time.
Now, I know the focus has been on the presidential election, but have you seen any mention at all of other races being manipulated?
I haven't, but I don't know if maybe they just aren't focusing on that.
Right.
But it seems to me that, like we had mentioned before, that in particular, the other positions that are really critical in each state, like the governor position,
yes,
the attorney general position, those tend to be the two obviously most weighty positions. But I don't see why you wouldn't. You know, I mean, it's just like that statement, the Stalin statement. It's not he who casts the vote, it's he who counts the votes.
Yes.
And so if you had access to manipulate the votes in your favor for one elected official, why not for all of them?
Well,
or at least the other major ones.
Well, there's, I guess, maybe the thought of, well, you don't want to come across, you don't want to be too greedy and then make it, you know, blatantly obvious. But on the other hand, this is blatantly obvious.
Well,
except for the liars.
When you've got 45,000 dead voters in, yeah, what was that, Nevada?
There's multiple states. I mean, there's, you know, how many of these?
How many did that? And that was what we were speculating last time was where do they get the confidence to make this kind of egregious illegal action? Right.
Right.
I mean,
well, here's the other thing too. With a national election, you've got a huge amount of data to look at. I mean, to expose irregular. If you just have a governor race and you kind of massage, some of the counties' votes and maybe get away with it more, but when it's on a nationwide scale, when you can look at irregularities on large, huge swaths, it
right,
stands out more.
Right.
Now you got 232 counties in the United States who had like 100% voter registration.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So
yep,
because
or
it's
more,
so large, maybe because it's so small, it's easier to hide. Maybe right, just a state level race, where the presidential race is like that. You can't hide 232 counties that all had 100% voter registration.
Well, and we also can't overlook the fact, I mean, not to change the subject, but to kind of give a little light bulb. Maybe they would rather have this much attention being placed on all of this fraudulent voting than on the international illegal support of Biden. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? That would illegitimize the race just as fast as fraudulent votes.
Right.
And in
right,
fact, it'd probably be more infuriating to the rest of America and more damning than even fraudulent votes and being caught doing fraud in the voting area.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they are to uncover the fact that China is behind Biden so big time, I'm surprised that investigation hasn't already brought this race to a halt. Because if Trump can just blatantly state it out in the open in the press,
yeah,
why is it not being investigated? That is illegal as all get out.
Because the press do not want that to be the truth. They are just straight out lying. They're bald-faced lying right now.
Right.
I mean, you could look at any of the CNN, you could tell them the sky is blue, and they go, no, it's not. That's a conspiracy. That's a debunked theory.
That's a white supremacist theory.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's been debunked.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's been debunked? The sky is blue. No,
that's white supremacist.
Right.
But well, and that was the other thing that I wanted to bring up too, is that I really hope that Congress will figure out a way to prosecute the lying media.
Absolutely.
You know, because that really needs to happen. I don't know if they're going to have to write bills and pass laws or what they're going to have to do. But this can't be allowed to continue.
Antitrust. It's got to be antitrust.
Treasonous.
Exactly. But here's the thing. They can go to Google and they can say, you have suppressed people's searching when they do a search. And you've channeled the search results, and we're fining you $2 billion, right? Or some dumb thing. We hear about that kind of stuff where they go after tech companies. Why can't you do the same thing to media?
Right, exactly.
You've defrauded the people, you don't even have the egregious level of crimes that of what Google's – I mean – What? Not Google. Just any of these big tech giants, Microsoft, Google, or any of these, where they are fining these guys because they're I think it's antitrust laws where you're giving unfair search results and you're suppressing some search results and
right. Like well, this. In fact, I just read this this paper put out by Harvard Law as to whether we can be suing social media, whether we can be suing the lying media, because apparently Fox they tried to sue Fox for downplaying the actual threat of COVID-19. And so the left wanted to sue Fox News for that. And so, their conclusion was that, in fact, they even made the reference, which is odd coming from Harvard, but they made the reference of Pontius Pilate, and their question was, well, truly, you know, like Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? And so then they started tearing down what truth really means and who really has the truth and whose basis is truth going to be, you know, tell me if that wasn't demonic. And so, you know, we're already looking at them redefining truth according to whoever walks around the corner next, right. You know? And so instead of having, you know, the black and white view that there can only be one truth, there's never two definitions of truth. And so, you know, they started down that road. If they can get to the point where they're dismantling math, you know, right. And 2 + 2 actually doesn't have to equal 4.
Right.
You know?
If it does, it's racist.
Yes. Yeah. It's most definitely a white construct, you know.
So. Well, you know, I have covered and I've studied Soviet propaganda and things like that from the Cold War era. And there's a book that I have called Desinformatia. It's the KGB's active measures of employing disinformation. And I've done the show topics talking about how they do it and how our media does it, right? So I was blown away when I saw, I think it was MSNBC, I'm pretty sure, doing a special on the topic of disinformation.
Right.
And they quote some right-wing conservative guy saying, I can't remember so they take this quote and like, which was not correct. He was not correct. They quoted him saying something that wasn't true. So then they use that as the baseline to build the rest of the segment on disinformation, how the right-wing disinformation machine is putting out false information,
right?
On behalf of Trump and all of his lies and all this. But see, so what they're doing is projecting precisely what they are doing. They're projecting that onto their adversaries, us.
Yes, exactly.
And
over and over.
Their communists are liars. They always have been. They always will be. They are now. And all of the media, even Fox News, is complicit, as far as I'm concerned now.
I totally agree with that.
They've gone to the dark side.
They not only are they complicit, but they need to be prosecuted and jailed.
Yep.
Because if there's a downfall of this nation, I have to point at them. Because they're the mouthpiece. They're the mouthpiece of the direction.
Right.
And so when you've got them hammering away at
the
integrity of our president and then telling everybody that's listening to go ahead and riot and we won't hold you accountable. We'll just say that you're peaceful protesters while you're busy burning down businesses and attacking people. You know, that's libel. That is absolute libel. And it's, you know, them instructing the masses. And so there's no question as to the sway and the influence of the mass media.
Yeah.
I mean, every nation on earth knows that.
Absolutely.
And so the fact that our media has gone against our government and has supported and is outwardly, overtly supporting a communist takeover, I just really look forward to some congressmen being able to make that illegal and prosecutable and then start prosecuting.
Yep.
Because as far as I'm concerned, it's treasonous.
Absolutely, it is.
And so, even if they don't pass any bills or make any new laws, they're still complicit in treason.
Yeah, absolutely. No different than any other enemy. I mean, look, if we were at war, a propaganda office who's developing propaganda that is harmful to us and helps the enemy, they would be a legitimate target.
Right.
For a drone strike or a bombing run, by a missile strike or something like that. Those who are creating information to sway people with wrong information that's helpful to the enemy, once again, they would be a legitimate target in a time of war.
That's right. And so, we even think about the fact that they were trying to impeach Trump over any Russian involvement with his campaign.
Right.
I mean, think about what they're saying. They're basically laying the groundwork for us to get them on this whole China involvement with Biden.
That's right.
And all of the Chinese backing. That's illegal. I mean, if they thought they could impeach Trump for that, and then they found nothing. So they couldn't impeach him on that. But according to their own prosecution groundwork, they've just set themselves up to go to prison.
Yeah.
Basically. Well, impeachment, prison, all
hanging.
Of it. Yeah, you name it.
Yep. So, firing squad.
So by their own definitions and by their own actions, they've pretty much paved the way for how we should treat them.
Well, these are definitely very interesting times, and we're just going to keep – remember, just folks, keep praying for the president. Keep praying for our country. Keep praying that truth, real truth, will prevail in all of this.
That's right. And there is only one truth, and that is the Lord.
Right, right.
And so and that never changes. The truth never changes.
That's right. So, wow, that's some really good information, though. But thank you. So,
well, you're welcome. I hope I added something.
Oh yeah, you did.
to what you already had.
Well, yeah, I like your perspective on these things too. I mean, it's just really good to kind of air that, get that out there, and we're both seeing the same things.
I know
for sure.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So that's and you definitely brought some new things to light here. So that's pretty cool. I am excited to watch all of their little world that they're trying to build has come crashing down.
It's going to. It is just about ready to, and they're not going to be able to get out of it.
And they are going to be like a
wild cat
nest.
In a cage.
Yep. Yep.
That's okay. We're preparing for that.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
Whatever stick they've got, our stick is bigger.
Absolutely. I'm ready to do some thumping.
That's right.
Okay. Well, Lady Liberty, thank you so much for being with us. Here, segment four, it's a
You're
blessing,
welcome.
As yep. always. And tomorrow morning, we'll be talking about the lockdown measures in Washington State.
Oh, boy.
Asking you folks in Washington, are you ready for Liberty State yet? Are you enjoying these chains still?
Yeah.
Are they still resting lightly enough on you? Or,
right,
or are they getting heavy enough? Are you ready to throw them off? We're going to find out. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. And we're not too happy at all.
No.
But this dictator. So, okay. Well, let's wrap it up. This is episode 20-38. And you guys have a blessed, safe week. We'll talk to you on the morning commutes every morning at 7 a.m. And you guys stay safe. Thank you for your prayers and your support. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.